section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Hello, my name is George Takei. Before we get started, we would like to remind everyone that this show is for entertainment purposes only. Three quarters of this crap is total BS anyway. The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts and should not be associated in any way with our guests and sponsors. If you are easily offended, we recommend you press stop right now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm. And who doesn't enjoy a good auditory orgasm? Oh my. Welcome to It Burns When I Pee.
Welcome to the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. For the past 6 years, the podcasting god,
hallelujah,
Blake Clayton, has brought you the best music, interviews, and comedy on the interweb. So sit your asses down, grab a hold of those handicap rails, grab a cocktail, and enjoy our next generation of auditory dysentery. Join Blake and his revolving door of cast members as they bring you another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio down, I hear it's pop country. Oh, corporate jerk, sure, get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee.
That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause
now it burns when I pee.
Follow that, bitch.
Sunday.
All right, folks, welcome to IBWIP Studios, and we have with us Dylan Michael Bentley. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Rainy night before Halloween, but you got here safe. So let's get into the first thing. How would you describe your music?
Oh, I should have looked over these questions. I have no idea. It's it's like country, I guess, like indie alt country type of stuff. I'm not really good at describing what I am. So.
Well, it's good that you can't describe it. That's kind of the best. That's kind of the trick question. So, So this is your first album, Change in the Wind. What was the experience like for you overall putting the album together?
It was an experience is what it was. The process was fun, and it was also a ginormous headache. Like it kind of, you know, ran the scales of emotion, but I made it out. So yeah.
And you know, how long did the process take from when you first started, when you first decided, hey, I'm gonna put this album together, till the time you sent it off to press? I mean, how long did you work on it?
Well, I worked on the songs for about the last year and a half. I mean, like there's about half the album is about a year and a half to a year old, and the other half is like, you know, 8 to 3, 4 months old. And when I actually decided to do it, it was in July, and it was because I sold out of like these little, I guess, like mix CDs. Sure. that I would burn. Sure. So I was like, well, I should probably get working on a different album now.
Awesome. So for you, which song, and I know this is really hard to pick, but for you, what's one song on the album that's the most meaningful to you, or your favorite? I know it's hard to say your favorite, but the most meaningful song to you, and why?
There's a song on it that's called Mama, I'm Coming Home, and probably that's kind of the culmination of everything that happens leading. It's the last song on the album, and it's kind of the culmination of and reflection of everything that's happened in the album. So that song's pretty meaningful because I wrote it when I was in a place where I was doing a lot of bad things to a lot of people who didn't deserve it, and I just wanted to go home and hug my mom because that's what happened.
So the album kind of tells a story for you personally. It kind of tells a story of different events and stuff that happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you find that it was kind of like cleansing? I mean, when you get it out, you know, you're writing the songs and you're playing them, but when you put them all together in a package, did you kind of get a feeling of, I don't necessarily mean satisfaction, but you have the whole compilation together. It's like the whole time of your life. And
right, yeah, it's like a snapshot of my life, and now I can move on. Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's definitely that feeling.
So, let's see. What are some other ones? I can edit that thing, guy.
How was it working with the Three Stooges?
Right, yeah. So, who are some of your musical influences? Like, who are some of the people that really have inspired you to be a writer and a guitar player?
Woody Guthrie, Bruce Springsteen, Steve Earle, Bob Dylan, Warren Zevon, just people, my dad's music, essentially. But as far as guitar playing goes, I'm not really much of a guitar player. I'm really kind of piss poor at playing guitar, very rudimentary, so I don't really have any guitar heroes. But anybody I see who plays guitar, I'm like, well, they can do it a lot better than me. So I'm always floored by guitarists.
I noticed that when we first saw you, I noticed that you're left-handed.
Yeah.
How did you have to teach yourself to play the guitar, or did you have someone who was left-handed teach you?
I taught myself how to play. Right-handed people get really confused, I found, trying to teach somebody who's left-handed, and I don't know why that is, because I can pick up right-handed players. Like if I'm in a jam session with a right-handed player, I can pick up what they're doing pretty easily, but they can't pick up what I'm doing easily. Right. I don't know why that is, but it's just what
you're
I found.
Your ambidextrous brain.
No, yeah. It's just luck, I guess.
Just luck. So I first saw you at the High Note, and I know that you kind of host the open mics.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
In your opinion, you know, for Central Illinois, I guess is kind of what we're regionally is. What do you see coming out music wise of from this area?
From this area, I mean, I'm not really sure on the whole, because there's a lot of genres of music that I'm not really attuned to, but like, you know, Pekin has like a lot of great acts that come over to open mic every week, and you know, over like, what is it, 45 miles east in Bloomington, like, you know, you got Chicago Farmer and Ed Anderson, right, and Chris Corkery. It's like a very good wellspring of singer-songwriters.
Awesome. And do you get inspired by, you know, those open mics, because there's a lot of different people playing? Does it kind of inspire you?
Definitely. I love, that's one of the reasons that I keep coming back to do it, is because I get to meet so many people who are, you know, different than me, and, you know, in my opinion, better than me, and I get to, you know, look at it and learn from it, and I get to listen to awesome music.
Awesome. So, for you, you know, as a singer-songwriter and kind of a, I don't want to say one-man band, because that's kind of, but I guess there's a difference between a one-man band and then a singer-songwriter. But both of those are, you're pretty much on stage alone a lot of times.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you have trouble when you first started performing? Did you have trouble with that? Because, you know, any slight mess up is a lot more noticeable. How did you learn to deal with that?
Alcohol is how I learned to deal with it.
That's... You just get up there and...
Oh, yeah, that's how this all started, was I was drunk one night at an open mic, and I was like, hey, I played guitar when I was like 14. I'll go home, get my guitar, and give it a try. And then that's what I did for almost a year. And then I was like, you know what, this drinking so much beforehand, during, and after I play is probably affecting this in a negative way. And it's affecting my life in a very negative way. So I should probably stop. And since I stopped, I like to think that I've gotten better performing.
Sure, sure. But, you know, it's got to be stressful, you know, to be on stage by yourself. You know, when you're with a band, there's always that fill. And,
right,
you know, you fret a chord wrong or something, it's not as noticeable.
Right. So. Well, no, I never feel, like, pressured or anything before a show or when I'm playing. I just sometimes if I'm struggling, I'll just pretend that I'm just at home in my room playing.
What's your kind of process for writing songs? I've met a lot of people over the years, and I'm always interested to know what their process is. I mean, are you the type that you sit with the guitar and work it out that way, or are you constantly have a notebook with you and you write lyrics, then you go back, or what's the process you normally use?
It varies. It's always different. I mean, I don't think there should be any set standard for songwriting. And sometimes lately it's mostly when I'm driving, I'll come up with a lyric in my head. And then if it's good, I'll just remember it. And if it's not, then I'll forget it.
It's a process of elimination in your own.
Yeah, pretty much.
So how do you measure success as an artist? So you know, you can have a good show and you can have a lot of people clap, but like with a CD or just within your own writing, you know, what makes something successful for you?
If my dad likes it, that's pretty much the only standard I have for whether or not I'm doing a good job or I feel successful. If my father likes it, then I'm like, well, I don't. I would like if other people enjoyed it, but they don't. They don't have to.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Now, did your father play music as well, or just was very?
He tried to, but he always talks about how he never really had the mind for songwriting, and the words wouldn't come to him, or and his fingers are kind of pudgy, so he could never really play guitar that well.
Awesome. How long have you been performing?
For about 2 years this past August, so a little bit over 2 years.
Wow, so you really haven't been performing-wise, it hasn't really been that long.
No, not at all.
Awesome. And you did mention, you know, that you've had your issues and bouts with alcohol and such.
Yeah.
And one of the first things that we talked about was sobriety.
I'm a little sober.
How, you know... For you, musically, I know, like you said earlier in the interview, performing-wise, obviously there's going to be improvement, you know, being clean. But do you see your songwriting or how you're progressing as an artist improve now that you you have a, like a clarity maybe?
Sometimes. I mean, as far as songwriting goes, when I drank and I would write songs, it'd be done in like 5 minutes. And now, sometimes it takes like a really long time to write like 16 lines or something like that. So there's times when it feels like it's harder, but you know, like overall, like I'm just more clear and more constructed in what I want to do.
Sure. It's more structured and it's more meaning probably.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you're just like, I'm pissed off. And
right. Yeah.
So I like to play a little game and it's called Word Association. And so we've made it through like the serious questions, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a word and you tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
All right. The first one is tattooed girls.
Tattooed girls. I don't know. That group Tattoo. That foreign group that was like big like 10 years ago.
Oh. All right. I'm going to Google them now.
I'm pretty sure that a lot of. Yeah. Just like, right. Yeah. Just,
Asian porn.
Asian porn. What's the point?
All right. Facebook.
It's kind of half of my job.
Half of being a musician is have to be good at
Social networking.
Social networking. The Beatles.
They're all right.
They're all right. Do you have a favorite Beatle?
Paul.
Do you think Paul was better than John at songwriting?
I just like Paul more. That's all I'll say.
I like to kind of pick people about that because it's an age old discussion.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I like to get artists' opinions on it. Michael Jackson,
one of my childhood heroes.
Awesome. Hot Pockets.
Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, nice. And finally, World Series.
Sports.
We have it on, and it's very difficult for me to do an interview while the TV's on, but, you know, whatever. So the most important question and the most important thing is where do folks go to get a hold of the album? Because that's the main thing.
I have this thing where I usually don't put music online ever for sale, and I don't really know if I'm going to stick with that this time. I mean, because I like to just come to a show. That's like how I've always...
Right,
like
but there's somebody could be...
States away.
That saw this video and checked it out. They should get a hold of you on Facebook maybe and figure it out.
Yeah, just get a hold of me on Facebook.
All right. We'll put up a link and check out Dylan and Michael Bentley and check out his music. And hey, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Hey man, thanks for having me.
Awesome. And here's another song.
Now Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.